Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell welcoming you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. Toward the end of this week, we are celebrating two feast days of two extraordinary saints that are listed in our calendar. Saints that had an enduring effect upon the church and upon its thought, its spiritual life, and its habits of Christian living. They are the feast of St. Monica and St. Augustine, the feast of a mother and a son. They are on August the 27th and August the 28th. St. Monica and St. Augustine are a fairly famous pair in church history and really in church popular life. In fact, though, I learned about St. Monica before I knew anything about St. Augustine. Because my mother, whenever we had misbehaved or we had caused her stress, would just sigh and say, "Ah, the tears of Monica." And I never knew what that was. I thought it could be bottled and you could find it in a store, the tears of Monica. But I got a little book of saints' lives when I received my first Holy Communion, and one of the saints that had a very brief description was St. Monica. And it was one of those aha moments for a seven-year-old child. But then I noticed there was another name in the story, and that was of her son, St. Augustine, the errant child. Now, I suppose that the stories of St. Monica and St. Augustine are almost stereotypical by now, of the devoted mother and the erring child that had a very close but very difficult and sometimes tumultuous relationship. It is extraordinary that St. Monica would never let go. She used to follow St. Augustine, even when he traveled, to keep an eye on him and to make certain that she knew precisely what she had to pray for that day. And even when St. Augustine wandered gravely, both morally and theologically, she never stopped. She was filled with a profound Christian hope that, in fact, the providence, the guiding hand of God would bring her some her son safely into eternal life. In fact, she was once asked what she so dearly hoped for her son. And her response was, "I pray and hope that Augustine become a full member of the Catholic Church." It is a story of St. Monica and St. Augustine of the nature of Christian persistence, of patience, and of a deep and lasting trust in the mercy and the providence of God. We find that on Augustine's part, even when he was erring, even when he wandered in what I suppose would we call the flesh pots of the city, he always felt very deeply an impulse to the truth and to the greater good. Sometimes that impulse embarrassed him. Sometimes he tried to shoo it away, but it was constantly there, and he felt it deep within his being. And I think in response to this impulse, but also in a kind of response to his own personal temptations, he ran from one solution to another until he met St. Ambrose, the Archbishop of Milan and one of the greatest figures of the early church. And listening to St. Ambrose preaching, he became more and more drawn to the truth of it, and then finding himself drawn morally to that truth. He had some divine inspiration. He told about a time when he was quietly reading and he heard a child's voice saying, tole legge, take it up and read. And it was the Bible, the scriptures. And so profound then became the relationship between Monica and St. Augustine that on one occasion they had something that is almost unique in Christian history. Simultaneously, the two had a mystical vision of God. And it was the same visions, and it was shared by two people at the same time. It was an extraordinary event. And I think it recognized the extraordinary relationship between Monica and St. Augustine. It's a wonderful story, but it has a profound meaning for all of us. You look at the dynamics of their relationship. I suppose modern psychology may find some rather out-of-the-way explanations of this relationship. We have to remember that in the 4th and 5th century, Sigmund Freud had not been heard of. But in fact, what glued their relationship was a profound desire for salvation and for the truth, a profound desire for that which made our life worth living and even dying for. Something that allows us to say, this is indeed who I am as a human person made in the image and likeness of God. A second reality is something that I think was present in the family life when St. Augustine was growing up. St. Monica was married to a man by the name of Patricius, that is, a Patrick, who was a very ambitious man. He was living in a time of the Roman Empire where there were certain pathways, certain channels open, where you could make quite a success in life. And Patrick wanted his son to follow one of these pathways into an extraordinary career. He insisted that he take the classical education, that he be trained, especially in rhetoric, so that he could enter the law and perhaps reach the highest summits of the imperial bureaucracy. And that was the direction in which Patrick wanted his son to go. But St. Monica knew that there was something more in life than simply getting ahead and prospering. And therefore tried even in the pushing of St. Patrick, or not Saint, but Patrick, Monica continued, and simply giving an example to her son that there is something more in life than we see on this earth. But also as a part of their dynamic was the extraordinary power of forgiveness and mercy, which after all was at the heart of the beginning of the gospel which Jesus Christ preached. There is also a great lesson for us, especially coming from St. Augustine, that allows us to understand a little more sharply the meaning of God. That God is absolutely infinite. He is beyond all created nature, but yet he is present to all his creatures. He is not only a God of omnipotence, of great power, of creative will. He is, at the heart of the matter, a God of love for those things that he has created, so that although he is beyond all nature, he is still present to all natural creatures. We also understand that God as creator created creatures and created all of that which exists for the ultimate good, which is communion and eternal life with God. But at the same time that this was the desire of God, and St. Augustine spoke about it on many occasions when he said, looking back on his life, that even in the worst choices I made, I heard the prompting of God. But it was also a lesson that although God wishes this for all his people, he grants them, again as an act of love, the freedom that then to choose, to grasp that offer which God gives to each of us. But also, knowing the meaning of God and how he operates within his created order, we understand that there is a great power within Christian life in the matter of giving example. There is a great power that we can exercise by showing concern and love for each other, especially for those most deeply in need of our prayer. And understanding our relationship to God allows us to understand that one of the aspects of our life to make it rich and full and reflective of the eternity to which we are called is the fulfillment of our responsibility and love to each other. In fact, I often talked with people who ask me about why, even though they're called to love another person, how difficult it is. And I used to tell them that they should not confuse love with liking. There are some people that we find a natural and almost immediately attraction to. We like them. We have other people who we find very difficult to find anything good in. But we are called to love them, and our Lord specifically called us to this. But love begins in an understanding that all of us being creatures of God have that spark of the image and likeness. And to love another person is to be able to say with your heart and mind, it is good that you exist. And because it is good that you are, it calls forth from me a certain responsibility to express that love, to care for the good that you can be worthy of, and to offer it to you. And like St. Monica at the very end, she knew. In fact, St. Monica and St. Augustine had a conversation when Monica knew she was approaching death, and she said, and St. Augustine said, well, where do you want to be buried? She said, I don't care. They were talking in Ostia, which is the port city of Rome. And she said, if I die here, bury me here. She said that once I have shucked off this earthly existence, who cares what dust covers my body? Actually, she did die in Ostia. She was originally buried there, but then later transferred to her birthplace. St. Augustine had a deep attachment to his place of birth in North Africa. But yet, even in her last days, Monica had that realization that being touched and redeemed by Jesus Christ is the most worthy acknowledgement of our lives and the profound root of our hope and our care.